we have the great honor of hearing from Pastor Tim Bays. Come on, Pastor Tim.
And it's amazing when, you know, for the worship, isn't it amazing whenever we put our eyes upon Him, how all the things around seem so dimly, right? I mean, when you begin to lock your eyes upon what He's doing. And then after that, I've got a great joke. Oh, no, hey, Wessel, come up here. I got something. I want you to come up here. That's not my joke. I have another one besides her. I have something else.
Okay, so I wanted to share with you what I've been hearing the last couple of days the Lord say. He's saying it over and over and over. He's saying, I see you, I hear you, and I notice you. And I just feel like it's this invitation back and forth. I see you, I hear you, and I notice you. And so I want to encourage you with that today, to take that away from here and live it out through the week and through the rest of the days. And also, I feel like online, Anita, I have a word I feel like I'm supposed to share with you. It says, when you were younger, I feel like there was pain and hurt that happened that you haven't had a chance to fully grieve from, the loss of that relationship. He wants you to know He sees you, He hears you, and He notices you. It's okay if you never get the apology. It's okay if you never get the words from that person, do you forgive me? He wants you to know He is safe, you can trust Him, and He loves you deeply. And He's saying, I see you, I hear you, I notice you.
Amen. So, I am the funny pastor, so sometimes I have to tell jokes to prove that. So I don't know, I did hear that at the middle of this week, I finally figured out what mixed emotions was. And it's when your mother-in-law drives your new Cadillac off the cliff. Oh, no. Now, I have a mother-in-law, and her name's Judy. I call her Ma. It wasn't that mother-in-law that I'm talking about. I'm talking about your mother-in-laws. So the sermon today is, we create opportunities for people to encounter God. And when we say to encounter God, we have to understand that the basis of everything that we do, the basis of all that understanding, is that I have a personal relationship with the Father. And when I have this personal relationship, that this one-on-one relationship, that He speaks to me and I speak to Him, and out of that, actually something changes in the midst of that, right? So it means I love God. It means that I'm connecting with Him in a regular basis. And out of that, something begins to happen, right? So what Moses would do is he would go up on top of the mountain. He would spend time with God. And when he came back down, his face would change. Not just the same for you. I believe not only that your face changes, I believe that something comes from the inside out. I believe that the way I love changes. I believe that it comes out by the way that I speak. I think that it comes out by my character, right? It comes out the way that I actually treat others. It comes out by other ways. Am I echoing? I feel like I am too. It's not that. Oh, my mic. Okay, good. And the way that I, so that shining of my face comes out from different ways. It comes out the way that I talk to others. It comes out by the way that I talk about others, right? It comes out the way that, and when it does, whenever Moses would go up there, he would come back down, and he would, and his encounter with God would give people encounters. It's the same way with us. It's the exact same way with us. Whenever we encounter God, then our job comes back to be able to allow the people around me to be able to encounter God, because of the way I was changed on the inside out. Amen? And so that happens so many different ways, right? And it happens with so many different people. You know, it happens sometimes during worship. Right, so sometimes when the worship team is encountering God, I come into worship and I encounter God. It comes from preaching, right? It comes from discipleship. It comes from reading the Word. It comes from spending time with your neighbor. It comes from they encounter God at work with me. Or it can sometimes you can encounter God in freedom prayer. And sometimes you can encounter God by getting healed. And sometimes you can encounter God by a prophetic word. I know that Dana has no clue who Anita is, but I do. I know exactly what that word and it was. And so I guarantee you this morning, Anita was changed because she So, because Dana encountered God, and when she encountered God, she brought that to this place. And in the midst of that, Anita is changed because Dana encountered God. Right? And so we encounter that, and it doesn't matter if you're the hammer, it doesn't matter if you're the saw, or it doesn't matter if the saw's not mad at the hammer's not mad at the screwdriver. We all understand that every piece of that comes that we encounter God so other people can begin to encounter God. And wouldn't it be crazy if the body of Christ came together and just said, wow, it really doesn't matter if you do it that way, or if you do it that way, or if you do it this way, if you do it that way. You could be wrong there and you could be wrong there, but it really doesn't matter, because as we encounter God, people around us begin to encounter God. And we don't actually eat ourselves, right? Because that's what we do in the church. We actually just bite each other so bad that the people around us go, whoo, I don't want some of this. Amen? It's crazy. I did, years before I gave my life to the Lord, I had two Christians that I was flying with, and I remember them getting in a big fight about theology, almost to the point that I thought they were going to go to blows, and I went, they're no different than me. See, I'm fighting over this, they're fighting over something different. There's no difference in us, right? So if you're spending time with the Father, the truth about it is you're changing on the inside. And if you're changing on the inside, that even whether you know it or not, it may be little baby steps, but what you're doing is you're changing the world around you. And the more time that you spend with him, the more time that you look like him. And the more time that you spend with him, the more times you begin to smell like him. And the more times that you begin to spend with him, the more times that you begin to love the way he loves. And you begin to sound the way he sounds. Amen? And it's really the more that we begin to mature, because we begin to look like him. But can I tell you that sometimes in this world, my feelings get in the way. My feeling gets bigger than my spirit. My emotions get bigger than my spirit. My wounds get bigger than my spirit. And I begin to have it. Tim gets bigger than his spirit a lot of times. And my dad would say it this way. He said, don't let your alligator mouth overload your Tweety Bird spirit. But he wouldn't use spirit. He'd use another word. But as Christians, I think that's what we do. Right? We do that all the time. And I think that if we would slow down a little bit and begin to listen to our spirit, that something would begin to sound the way Jesus sounded. And I'd begin to look the way Jesus looked. Right? I don't know any of us really. Maybe there's somebody out there who in every way they look, they act like God all the time. I don't know anybody. I haven't met a single person alive who actually have had the complete character of God, right? So that means if there isn't, that I've got a lot to grow in, right? So if this is the truth about what's supposed to be happening, this is what I'm supposed to look like, but the truth about it, I'm over here, then something's got to get me to grow to that. I can't just wait here and think just because I'm here that I'm going to grow there. I've got to begin to do something. Something's got to begin to happen to get me closer to look like this than what I was before. Amen? You may have heard this joke before, but I'm going to tell you again. Driving along a busy street, a man becomes aware of an impatient woman who was tailgating him. She was so close when he had to brake. To allow some children to go across the pedestrian crossing, she almost crashed into him. Furious at being delayed, she sounded her horn. She began waving her fist in a disgraceful exhibition of road rage. And before she could move off, she felt a tap on her window, and it was a police officer who ordered her to step out of the car. Then he asked her, he says, come down to the station where they searched her, they fingerprinted her, they photographed her, and they put her in the cell. After several hours, after the vehicle checks had been carried out, she was told that she could collect her valuables and that she could be released without charge. The woman was extremely indignant at her arrest and demanded an apology, and the officer replied to her and said, you can understand the reason for my mistake. He said, you see, madam, I pulled up behind your car while you were sounding the horn and loudly and cursing the driver in front of you. Then I noticed the Follow Me Jesus sticker on the back. I noticed that God is love sticker on your bumper sticker. And I noticed the little Jesus Christian fish emblem. And you can understand that I had thought you had stolen the car. But I mean, we laugh at that, right? We really laugh at that. But if we were to stop and just evaluate the words that I said last week, the things that I did last week, would someone say you could be arrested for imitating a son of the Lord? So I just think there's a place, there's a time that I have to go, this is what I'm supposed to look like. The Christ on the earth is what I'm supposed to look like. And I'm far from that. And what gets me to that place? How do I get to that place? And what helps me get to that place? And I think measuring myself in the presence of the Lord helps me get to that. Staying in the presence of the Lord, coming to, in this relationship with Him, begins to allow the world to see me who I'm really created to be versus who I am. Amen? I didn't think I'd get a lot on that one. I think the body of Christ, I think we're on a journey. And on this journey, we've hurt each other. On this journey, accidentally, not on purpose, but we've said things about each other. And not only each other, but other churches and other sons and other, we just not was careful with what we were doing in the midst of growing to where we're called to be, right? And you know how it is. I hear about somebody who said something about me that thought they said something else, and so they told me, and so now I'm mad at them because these guys told me that they said this, and that's not outside the church, that's the church. And that's not outside of our church, that is our church. And then we walk that way, we walk with offenses and hurts, and yet we wonder why the world hasn't come to the place where we're at, right? My mom, bless her heart, she's on the other side now, and I'm sure Jesus has already fixed this in her. But she hated President Trump. And if you were on her Facebook page, you would knew it, right? Because she would tell you that. And not only would she tell you that, she would use words that you wouldn't think that Christians could use when they did that. And I would say, Mom, don't you know that Romans 13:1 says that God has put all places in authority and we should walk that out? And then she would expressively tell me what she thought about that too. But now she's in heaven. I'm sure Jesus corrected that little error in her side of her life. But Jesus in chapter 12, he says it this way. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I don't know that I can't say that. That sometimes Tim comes out and it's bigger than what he should be saying or not saying. Amen? And one of the guys that worked for me, not Dwayne. Dwayne was there though. He goes, at the very beginning of COVID, they go to eat somewhere and they didn't have a mask, so they kind of threw him out. Well, he throws a big walleye fit. I mean, just throws a big fit. I mean, a huge fit. And the problem was, I got three big guys beside him with my phone number on the front of their shirt. And so, now, can I tell you that they weren't really mad at him? They actually called me. And they said, I can't believe this is you, and I can't believe this is what you think, and I can't believe it. And I'm like, that's not what I think. That's not what I do, right? You know, so what happened was, out of that, who took the brunt of the way they acted? I did. Can I tell you, I think that sometimes God takes a brunt because of the way we act. He takes the end of that because we don't slow down enough to think, wow, I actually am representing someone else. I have a bigger vested interest in something else that's bigger than my own feelings or my own hurts or my own wounds. And it really matters what I say. And I've got to be careful how I let things outside of this mouth because I'm representing actually someone else. Amen? See, our words are so, so important. And it really does matter, right? And God knows how big our words is. I mean, you see the words all throughout the scripture in Psalms. It says, He sent His word and it healed them. He's the same word that I use to curse somebody. He takes that word and it heals. But I don't have a measurement between the right and the wrong, or the good and the bad, or the life and the death. I just throw it out there and not for sure how it's going to land, and not for sure what's going to happen. I just have a liberty to say what I want to say and when I want to say it, and have no thought about the effects that it may have on the very thing that I love. And I wonder if we just slowed down and we just kept our eyes upon Him and we weren't worried as much about what people was doing to the left or to the right of me, but I was more concerned about this relationship with him if something would begin to change inside of us, right? And I do know, I said, for years, even amongst us, I've heard arguments whether that word of life and death comes from the, is it that important? Is it that big of a deal? And God knows, and he knows when his sons are needs maturity and it matters. And I've heard those words all the time. And I even remember one time we were up here and we were praying for Matt and Elizabeth, one of their kids, one of the boys, and we were dedicating them. And I remember Alan is, man, he's fired up, boy. He's praying and he's prophesying. And in the middle of it, he's like, Lord, I just pray this baby blows up. I'm like, oh, shut up, la la da da da, boy, on there. And that meant, Holy Spirit, you know what the tall man really means to say. You know, and so, of course we have those things. And I do think that God knows his sons. And I do know think that he knows our maturity level. And he does know when the words can matter or not. But somewhere along this journey, somewhere along this place, I've got to realize that my words have got to be counting, right? Something's got to take place inside of there. Somehow, my good words or my bad words, right? Either one of them, I've got to come to a place sooner or later that I understand that there's a place that I begin to grow closer to look like Jesus than what I'm at this point in time in my life. And so how does it work for us? I think it works because I spend time with Jesus. And as I spend time with Jesus, he begins to change me from the inside out. And he begins to say things, don't say that. He begins to send words to me, don't say that, don't speak like that. And I think the more times that we do that, the more that he begins to shift us. And you know the story in Matthew 8, you know, the guard came and he said, hey, God, you come and heal my son. And Jesus says, I'll come. He goes, you don't even need to come. If you'll just say the word, I know that you are healed. So where does it change for my life? Where does it start to look? Where does the world change because the way I speak and the way I speak means something and it has power versus just saying stuff? Where does that shift inside of our life? And sure enough, he did. And on that very hour, the guy was healed because of what Jesus said. I just believe this is the season. I think this is the season that we're moving into, that the declared word, the word that God speaks to us in our heart, has something to do, and we need to take it serious and begin to walk it out. Amen? I don't think it's make-believe. I don't think it belongs to a certain stream of the Bible. I believe that it's assigned to each and every one of us. And somewhere, when my father spoke the world into existence, should bring some kind of conviction inside of me that my words have got to matter. He spoke the world into an existence, and he lives inside of me. And if he lives inside of me, if he's inside of me, then why isn't my words as important as the words he said? Amen? I think this has just got to matter. I believe that we have the opportunity, if we'll just slow down and keep our eyes locked upon him, we have the opportunity to speak life. And if we're not careful and not watching what we're doing, we'll speak death. But it all comes from our mouth, right? It all comes from the power of this tongue. I believe, I don't know that this is true. I just believe in years to come, we're going to actually look back at and have to take back some of the things that we even talked about 2020. You know, before 2020 and in 2020, at the very beginning of it, we were talking about 2020, it's a perfect vision for the church. 2020, God's going to show us stuff. 2020, and then when 2020 hit, we're like, oh! We're like, man, this is a horrible year. It's a bad year. I think that in the years to come, we may see this as the greatest reformation inside the church I've ever seen. Because it took us out of coming to a place to receive a relationship with him and into a place to receive a relationship with him. Instead of somebody else giving me the word, I had to go hear the word. Instead of me waiting for somebody else to have a relationship like Moses, then I had to actually have my own. I just think that God's doing something. He's got to be the one in charge because nobody can move him. Nothing. The song said it. No weapon, no enemy can move or touch him. But yet when something happens and I'm not for sure, I just start talking. Because it's a lot better to talk than it is just to wait to see what he's doing. Amen? I think we're going to look back and find out that 2020 became a year that things began to shake inside of my life. I think he shook the church. And I think that he's continually to change that. Something's happened. I think I used to go to a place to get fed, and I think I'll still come to this place to get fed, but I'm getting fed all week long. But I'm not just coming here for a relationship. I'm having a relationship all week long. And then when I come here, it's a celebration of everybody's relationship. And you begin to see and feel that happening, right? It's not the place that I just come to eat, right? I don't just come here on Sundays to eat. It may be one of the places I eat, but it's not the only place that I eat. If this is the only place that you eat, then you're malnutrition. Right? You don't just eat only one Sunday. I mean, one day a week. You eat every day of the week. Amen? I think it's the place where he began to shake relationships. I think that things inside of marriages that were hidden, that he wanted to take care of, that he wanted to bring out, he began to shake them. He began to take friendships, and he began to shake friendships, because I think there's things that we've been satisfied. I think the church was satisfied in this area, and God said, the only way I can get them to move is begin to shake them. And he took this stuff up, and he began to shake it, and all this stuff is being shaken, and we don't know what to do about it, and we don't know how to feel about it. And so whether it be my marriage, or whether it be my friendships, or whether it be my groups, or whether it be this or that, I think he shook everything that could be shaken, because he wants to change stuff inside of us, and it's the only way that we can get to that place, because he had to shake it up. And then when he began to shake it, I began to get nervous. And as I began to get nervous, I began to talk about 2020 and how bad COVID-19 was, instead of, my God hasn't changed. He's the same God before COVID that he was after the COVID. He's the same God. He's the same one. And I think that he shook those things so we would begin to stop and say, hey, listen, anything that shook inside of my life, he wants to deal with. And I don't care if it's relationships, I don't care if it's marriage, I don't care if it's families, I don't care what it is. If he shook it, he wants it, right? I feel like that we're in a season at the church where we get a choice. We get to stop and go, wow, I need to grow. I need to grow. I need to grow in hearing him and doing what he said for me to do, right? I think he shook those areas inside of our lives. I think that he shook our health. He shook our workplaces. He shook all of that stuff up, trying to say, hey, listen, I've got more for you than where you're standing. I've got more for you. There's so many more promises for you that I don't want you to stay where you're at, but we've almost got complacent inside the churches just to stay where we're at and talk the way we talked and do the things we do. I don't care if you're Republican or liberal or conservative or a mask wearer or not a mask wearer. I don't really care, right? Because if my eyes were locked upon him, you could do what you want to do because it's about me. But when I begin to try to change you because of me, then what's the problem? See, I think that what happens is when I spend time with him, my face begins to shine and it begins to change who I am, right? Luke 2:52 says this. It says that Jesus grew up and he grew in wisdom and maturity, and the favor of his life changed. So that means that the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end lives inside of here. And he lives inside of there. And he lives inside of there. And he lives inside of there. And we told the world that. We told the world. We stood before the world and we said, listen, we're Christians. We're sons of the living God. Now, you understand where Christian, the word Christian came from, right? Christian really wasn't a word that God called us. It was a word that the world called us. The world said, hey, these people are following the way. These people love Jesus, so we're going to call them Christians. Not one time did God ever call you a Christian. A Christian, you could be a member of a group or whatever, but he called you sons. And can I tell you, when he called you a son, because you had responsibility, right? As a son, can I tell you that you're just not allowed, if you're in a family, and you're just not allowed to poop your pants your whole life. Something's got to change. You got to grow up. You got to mature. You're expected inside of a family to continue to be matured and then look out for those behind you that's coming around and just keep going. It's a family thing. It's what he did, right? And so there was a responsibility as sons. And it cracked me up because I heard the story again a couple weeks ago. And Kirsten, which is Pastor Melissa's oldest daughter, we're at youth camp one time, and she had moved from being a youth to being in charge. I think it was maybe her first year that she became in charge. And she's laying in bed at her bunk, and she hears one of the girls roll off the top bunk and hit the ground. She's like, oh. And then she thought, well, that's no big deal because one of the adults are going to get up and take care of her. And so she laid there for about 20 minutes. She goes, oh, I am that adult. Like, you are those adults. You are those sons. It's us. It's us now. It's that place, right? It's that place. We are them. It's time for us to step up and take those places. We are the adults. We're the ones that are responsible to grow the family business, where I'm expected to grow up and look like the Father. I'm expected to grow up and look like the Father, right? You know, if you ever was a little kid and you run away, I tried to run away so many times. And even as bad as it was, I'm glad I never did because it was a lot easier there. But, you know, even if you ran away, if you got caught, they were going to bring you back, right? They're going to bring you back to the place because it was illegal to run away. But for us, we do it all the time, right? We've had to build churches around because if we hurt you, we offend you, we make you mad, if we do whatever, then it's no big deal because you can just find another church. You can find another family. Something happens where we just miss this place of saying, okay, Lord, I'm not moving. You start shaking stuff, and I'm not going to blame it on anybody else, but I'm going to let you shake me until you do the things that you want to do inside of my life. Where we refuse to move, right? See, it's crazy to me because I think I praise God with the same mouth that I judge other people with. I praise him in one moment, in the next moment, not even realize I begin to talk or not even careful what I say with people, right? And James 3 says this, it says, would you look for olives hanging off of a fig tree or go to pick figs from a grapevine? Is it possible to have fresh water and bitter water that flows from the same spring? See, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how do I praise God with one and then look at you and judge you when Christ lives inside of you? You're made in the very image of God, and I'm actually trashing you now. I think that something changes, right? I think it's okay that we're on this journey, and I think it's right that we're on this journey, but I think there's something that has to be, we have to stop and ponder or consider, how do we do this on this journey? I mean, if I'm the one who's supposed to be hearing from God, and I pray for you, and it doesn't work, I need to go back to God and hear why it didn't work, right? We don't do that. We're like, hey, come up here and get prayed for. We pray for you, and the next day, come back, pray. I think there's a responsibility. If you're going to call yourself a son, if we're going to go, then there's a responsibility to hear. And I think it's perfectly okay to be on a journey. I think it's perfectly okay to miss it. I'm perfectly okay to, but I need to let people know that, right? I need to let people go, hey, I'm trying to hear God and I'm trying to learn this relationship and I'm going to pray for you if that's what I'm supposed to do. But I'm not going to just let that go. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold myself accountable to the very thing that I said, whether it's a prophetic word. If it's Anita and Dana didn't have that word right, Anita should be calling Dana, hey, Dana, you kind of missed that word. Dana shouldn't be mad or upset or have to defend herself. She's just trying. She's trying to grow in that place. But somewhere we got that a little mixed up, amen? I don't think we're doing anything wrong. I just think that we saw the shortcut, and it's a lot easier to take the shortcut than to go on the journey. You understand? I mean, it's the same picture that Satan did with Jesus, right? Satan didn't offer Jesus anything he wasn't going to get that wasn't going to be fulfilled in the journey. Satan just offered him a shortcut. So when he said, hey, listen, Jesus, turn this bread into stone, can I tell you, the angels were coming already to feed Jesus. It was coming. It was happening. And he could have took the shortcut and turned the rocks and the bread, or he could have waited for his father in this journey to do what he was going to do. Right? He was going to receive notoriety, right? He didn't have to throw himself off the cliff and let angels come. Angels were already in his destiny to pick him up. He could have took the shortcut, but he said, no, I refuse to take the shortcut because the way to the place that he wants me to become is through the cross. And I think sometimes what we do is we take the shortcut versus doing the hard things that he's wanting to do inside of me. And I take the shortcut because it's a lot easier than to put myself on the cross of getting those things healed inside of me, what he wants to do. And I think we got to say, I'm not going to take the shortcut anymore. I'm going to go the journey. I'm going to, whatever he's shaking inside of my life, he's shaking because he wants to deal with it inside of my life. It's not so I can take a shortcut and get out of that. Amen? And I think it's just that time that we actually do that, where that happens at. And so, come on up here, worship team, because I want to do something here in a minute. But I want to tell you, you know, one of the things that I felt God said for a while was that 2021 would be a year of miracles. And I'm like, woohoo! But he told me, he says, it's going to be miracles of love. And I'm like, what the heck does that mean? I mean, we're going to like, oh, like little hearts, and when we hug, little hearts float out of us, or we get mushy. What's that mean? I'm not there. I'm like, Lord, what's this thing going to look like? And as I was plowing snow a couple weeks ago, I hear a testimony that broke me. Literally broke me. And it was a testimony of a nurse, and she had a patient. I may not have it all right, but it's pretty close. and she was a nurse, and somehow she had this patient, and for like the next day she didn't have him or something, and then the next day she did. I don't know how it worked. But anyway, but he wasn't a Christian. He was like Hindu, or his religion was totally different, and he died. And when she got back to his room, there he laid. There laid his death certificate. And he had been dead for 3 hours. Or the death certificate had been signed for 3 hours. All of a sudden, she was broken. She said, wow. She goes, it wasn't that he refused to love Jesus. It wasn't that he wanted to not love Jesus. It was he was just born in the wrong family. It wasn't because something he had done or something his parents had done or anything like that. He was just born in the wrong family, and he had died without ever knowing Jesus Christ, and she was broken. She fell on the floor, and she began to weep. She said the heaviness that she began to weep was so much that she felt like she couldn't even breathe. The man comes alive. I know. Same way, too. I'm like, are you sure he really came alive? Are you sure he wasn't really led the whole time? All that went in my head. Don't worry. He came alive, accepted Jesus as the Savior. I don't understand it. I don't have the take it up with them. I mean, I'm just telling you the thing that I heard. And after it, I thought, I've never prayed like that. I've prayed for maybe 1,000 people to be raised from the dead, a bunch. If I get a chance to raise somebody from the dead, I'm trying it. I mean, you don't even have to be part of my family. I mean, I'll be doing it whenever you're just walking by you. I mean, if I go visitation with one of your family members and I walk by somebody else, I'm trying. I'm going to give it a shot. And maybe one day it'll work. And I'll be shocked as they are. I'm like, I didn't know it was going to work either. Maybe I wouldn't have done it. And I don't know, but I've done it so many, many times. But what broke me was I've never prayed that way. Pops is one of my, Pops about praying. Pops calls me almost every night to pray for him. Sometimes I'm in my bed, sometimes whatever. And I've always prayed for Pops. And I've prayed that God would move. I've prayed that Pops would feel God's power. I've prayed that Pops would be changed because he felt what God did, that it would be something that happened, and he would go home and he would tell all his family and friends, and God would be moved. I've prayed all those ways. And sometimes I've just prayed because the Razorback game was on or something. But I've never prayed for someone's healing out of that depth of compassion. I never did. I plowed the snow and I thought over and over and over of the thousands of prayers that I've prayed throughout my life and thought, I never was moved in compassion like that. And Pastor Melissa last week, she preached about Jesus had compassion, and then something happened. And I thought, Maybe we don't have compassion when we pray. Maybe we've just taken the shortcut. Maybe we haven't taken this a little bit more serious than what it is. And so I thought, I'm not going to pray anymore without compassion. I don't even know how to do it. I don't know if you work it up or, you know, I don't know what you do there. So Pop, sure enough, he calls and he says, hey, my neck's hurting again. Pray. And I'm like, compassion. So I started thinking, I was like, Lord, you brought Pops back from the dead. He died, and he on the operating table, he died, and he came back. You brought him back for a reason. I don't know the reason. But you brought him back for a reason. So he has a purpose. That old man has a purpose for him to accomplish on this earth that's still here. And Father, I don't think that if you brought him back that he should have to be in agonizing pain every night that he goes to bed because of that. So I just speak that into his life. And I hung up the phone and I thought, man, I hope that was compassion. I hope that was something. Pops calls me the next day. He's like, shut up, don't talk, don't say anything else. I got to tell you what happened. He goes, you finished praying. He said, and heat began to come from my back of my neck, began to rise up. He goes, and my neck quit hurting. And I thought, what if we would just stop? We stopped all that stuff. We stopped all that chatter. And we stopped all that thing about each other. And we just locked our eyes. We just locked our eyes on Jesus and said, Jesus, grow me to who you called me to be. And I know that people in here and people there, and you're in that person, and you're in that person, and that's your responsibility to grow them and grow them and grow them. And I'm just going to lock my eyes upon you, and I'm going to grow to look just like you are. I thought, would the church be different if we did that? Would it change the world more than the way we've changed it now? I just know there's such a big difference of what Jesus looks like and me. A big, big difference. And I don't know how to do it, but you know when the Israelites came out of Egypt, it was a picture of the sons coming out of the world. That's what that picture is, us coming out of the world into a journey to the promised land. We came out of the world to the journey of the promised land. I don't want to down the journey. I don't want to quit in the middle of the desert. I don't want to stop somewhere else. I want to finish it out. I want to see his face. I want to walk that way now. I want to walk in the promised land now. I want to do it now, Lord. I want to walk that out now. So do in me. So I just spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, do in me what needs to be done. Do in me. Do it in me, God. Maybe if you do enough inside of me, then the me that you do that shines out will change other people. And I won't have to do it the way I've been doing it. So we got this song that I'm going to sing to you guys. Told you I was the funny pastor. We got this song. And so this song, I don't even remember the name of the song. But I know that it talks about locking your eyes there, if I could just stay at that place. And I think we can. So I just want you to close your eyes and allow this song to minister to you. To you, not anybody else, just to you. Where are you at? What would it look like if you did that? What would it look like if that was you? How would it change your family? How would it change your life? How would it change the people around you? She's like, I'm going to hook this up so she can sing.
I've come to see your face. 'Cause everything else can wait.
What if everything did wait? What if there was nothing more important than that?